Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Of course, Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. With us today, we have two ladies around the table, Betsy O'Brien and Judy Rappias. They're with the National Association for the Mentally Ill, and we're going to be talking about what they do and what's going on, particularly during this lovely pandemic year that we've all just celebrated our first anniversary of enjoying. Okay, if you believe that, I've got some swamp land for you down in Florida. All right, so without any further ado, let's start with you, Betsy, because Judy wants to hear how you do this, so she knows what to do, all right? So, Betsy, tell us a little bit about you.
All right, my name again is Betsy O'Brien. I'm the executive director for NAMI Piedmont Tri-County, and we are the local NAMI affiliate for Chester, Lancaster, and York counties. We support families and individuals that live with mental health conditions. We work with community partners and anywhere where there's talk about mental health, we are there at the table.
All right. Now, your sidekick over here, Judy Rappias, tell us a little bit about Judy.
Well, I am the regional program manager for the northern region of South Carolina for the Ending the Silence program. And the Ending the Silence program is one that we go into schools and we talk about mental health with the students. And we're likening, you know, these conditions to other physical conditions. And we are also trying to get the message across that, you know, everybody has mental health and everybody needs to be paying attention to their mental health. And this is especially important right now, you know, with the pandemic. And as you probably know, Manning, that the, you know, this has come to the forefront right now, that people's mental health is really important and that people are struggling.
It is, and we will chat about that in a second, but I want somebody to explain to me this structure for this National Association for the Mentally Ill, NAMI.
Okay.
Now, it's tiered all over the place.
Okay, and first, it's the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And we have a national organization that is in Washington, D.C. area. And each state has a state organization, and each state has a variety of different affiliates in different parts of their state. And so NAMI South Carolina has 11 affiliates, and we are that area up here. So we are the affiliate for this particular area.
So that's your job.
That is my job as executive director.
Your job is at the state level?
I'm at the state level, but I also have a territory as well. So I cover York, Lancaster, Chester, but I also have Cherokee, Union, and Fairfield counties.
All right, so here's a big question.
Yes.
How well do you think we all have adapted to this pandemic world of not going to school, being shuttered home at work, not being able to go to the movies, in many cases not being able to go out to restaurants, even though some of that's changing a little bit, but we had a pretty strong year of all of that. How well do we do?
Well, we're doing pretty badly, and because it's very hard to be isolated and feel disconnected from family and friends and workmates, schoolmates, for kids, and everybody's anxiety is a little bit heightened just because for so long we've just been worried about this invisible sort of floating virus and trying to do everything we can to protect ourselves and our family. So in addition to all the other things that we might worry about, you know, there's just been this new increase of trying to keep myself, my family safe, and you know, what does all that mean? And the isolation has been hard.
Just getting used to wearing a mask has been hard. I just told you, every time I get out of the car, I walk halfway to where I'm going and I realize, oops, I left the mask in the car. I got to go back and get the doggone thing. But now, it's interesting, we're doing this show, right as the high schools are, actually all the schools are starting to get back in class. Fort Mill's been back in place. Clover's been back in place. Rock Hill gets back in place with everybody, high schools, next week. And the national studies that I hear about show a clear correlation between not being in the classroom and academic performance. It ain't, it's not a, nowhere near as good as if you're in the classroom.
You want to address that, but then talk about the fact that the kids are, like, more at risk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're going to do better when they're person to person. You know, some kids have done okay, but the majority have not done well because they need that structure. And, you know, they're not getting the structure with the Zoom and the way some of these classes are asynchronous, and they can do it on their own and they don't have anybody, you know, kind of guiding them all the time. So that's been a real struggle for a lot of these kids. Plus, on top of that, some of these youth, you know, are responsible for a lot of things, like making sure that their brother and sisters are doing things. You know, mom and dad have to go to work, so they're kind of in charge. And you have these younger kids that are trying to manage adult things. So it's been very difficult. And, you know, the feedback that we've gotten is that from teachers is that, you know, it's been really difficult for these kids. And you just don't know all the time what's going on. So, you know, I know a lot of times they're complaining that the students aren't doing their work and they're not doing this and that. But, you know, you really don't know all the time what's going on, you know. At least when they're at school, you know, they have that structure. They have somebody else looking out for them. But
when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Well, and I don't know that there's that much good playing going on. I think there's too much isolation for these kids. They're, you know, we want to be social. We're social beings, so we need to be having that connection. And that's part of how they grow emotionally and socially. I do, the other flip side of the kids being back at school, which is, I think, a good thing, is that it may cause some extra anxiety for teachers because the kids usually don't get as ill if they do get this virus. The teachers, you know, I have a very good friend who's a teacher, and she's got the big screen in front of her desk, and she's got, you know, her mask, her shield, and she says, and you know, she's got all these protections, and she's very connected with her kids. But when she turns her back, one of them will come up behind her and, you know, have gotten around all of those protective things. So, you know, it's hard to.
Well, the good news there is I can tell you the Rock Hill Piedmont Medical Center Vaccinations Clinic has now immunized, at least first shots, all the teachers in all the districts. So there is some protection out there. But I got what you're saying.
Thank goodness, yes.
But the other side of that coin is I would think a teacher would be going absolutely bonkers trying to teach a class over a video screen.
It's hard.
I mean, hard. I'm still amazed at how in a very short period of time, like a couple of days, they were able to adapt their curriculum from face-to-face to Zoom.
It was wonderful. And one of the things that kind of affected us by the fact that everybody had to change and switch up is Judy has this absolutely fantastic program that 2 years ago, year and a half ago, reached over 5,000 students in this area, telling them the signs and symptoms of mental health conditions, suicide awareness and prevention, because we want to put a safety net under these kids. They want this information. They're hungry for this information. When we all went and had to change and go virtual, she wasn't given as much access just because they didn't know how to include or import or, you know, sort of choreograph her, what she had to offer that they always wanted into their new world. Yeah. And so these kids who are sitting at home, quite vulnerable now, are even more vulnerable because they don't have that opportunity to hear what she has to say. How are those coping strategies? What are those coping strategies that you can use to keep your mental health in a good place?
So this is your Ending the Silence program?
Correct.
All right,
correct.
So tell me about this. How does this work?
Okay, so we go in, and if pre-pandemic, we used to go into the classroom and there was a team of us and we would give them lots of information about stigma, understanding the stigma that surrounds mental health conditions. But as I said earlier, likening a mental health condition to be no different than any other physical condition. We should treat them the same way we treat asthma or diabetes or high blood pressure. For too long, we haven't been talking about that. So, you know, we're talking about physical health, but we're really not talking about mental health. So we're trying to get them to think differently about that. I said the stigma, understanding what some of the warning signs are, understanding that healthy coping strategies can help with mental health. And then also we do touch on suicide so that they have information on how to help a friend or themselves if they are struggling.
Now, you were doing this while classes were being held in school.
Exactly.
So how has that changed since we haven't been in school for a year?
So we spent a lot of time over the summer redeveloping the program to be a virtual delivered virtually. And so we came up with a lot of protocols of things that we have to do for students that were maybe at home. So we were doing some kids that were strictly virtual. We came up with, like I said, some protocols because we wanted to make sure that they were safe. And then we also had protocols for when they're in the classroom. So we've been able to do it pretty successfully. And we've done, actually yesterday we did one school in Lawrence County, and it was over 1,000 kids.
1,000 kids
mm-hmm.
at one time on the...
Yeah, that isn't typical. That Ooh. Wouldn't be something that I would normally do, but that's what they wanted. So, we try to help them in any way we can. But generally, I like to do smaller groups because I like it to be interactive and get them to discuss what's going on. And, tell me some things. So
all right, you got to take me through this now.
Yeah.
So you're looking into a screen, and you got 1,000 people out there somewhere. You can't see their faces with that many.
Sometimes. Yeah.
And was this class mandated by the school district? Did they make them take this class?
No. Well, I guess.
Probably highly encouraged.
Highly encouraged. Okay.
Yeah, probably highly encouraged.
All right.
But here's one of the things that I will say is that our program hits on many of the health and safety standards that are put forth by the state of South Carolina. So we're hitting all those check marks for health class because they're supposed to teach to the standards, and we deliver those standards to them. So, we're talking about access for mental health conditions, what the warning signs are, how they should reach out for help. So all that stuff is part of the South Carolina standards. And we do all this for free. So this is something that we don't charge for. And this is like really the best kept secret in the state.
All right. So what are you saying to these kids? You have them for what? Is this a half hour program or a 45 minute
program?
Actually,
probably about 50 minutes. Yeah, 50 all minutes right. to an hour.
So you got to boil it down in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes. Go
okay.
right ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to tell them that, your mental health is no different than their physical health. We need to treat it the same way. They're going to maintain it by eating healthy, getting enough rest, and having healthy coping strategies. People that live with a mental health condition are, it's not their fault, and that they need to make sure that they're not bullying people and labeling them and discriminating against them.
So how do you get a student to recognize that they may, in fact, have some type of a mental health issue that's brewing?
Well, we do go through a lot of the warning signs.
Uh-huh. Which are?
The signs and symptoms.
The signs and symptoms. So we'll talk about being withdrawn and sad for maybe more than 2 weeks. Sudden, overwhelming fear maybe for no reason that they might have.
Right.
Things like that.
Mood swings. Sleep disorders, up and down, not being able to sleep at night.
But it's interesting because with all the technology we have mm-hmm. today, everybody's got a phone. Phone does all kinds of stuff. You can text. You can. What do they call it? Video stream each other.
Right.
I forgot. FaceTime. I guess what's it called. And that's not good enough. That doesn't substitute for the real thing, which is face to face. Is that what we're saying?
No, the face-to-face is optimum, but this is just better to give them the information because there are kids. We don't want to lose any more kids to suicide. That is just, and we want to prevent that by giving them the information that they need to support themselves. And what do you do if you need the help or if you have a friend who you're concerned about?
And how bad is the suicide issue amongst teenagers?
Well, the statistic before the pandemic was that approximately 17% of high school students had suicidal ideation. So thoughts
that's almost, you know, one in five.
That's like one in five. And the fact is that one in five youth have a diagnosable mental health condition. So that's another thing that Judy does during her presentation is she says, okay, she says that one in five, and then she does some sort of a display of what does that look like in this class? And the teacher she'll ask the teacher for a number, and they've already given numbers out to the kids. And so they have the teacher pick a number, and so the kids see it and hear, what does that look like if that was in this classroom? This is the number of kids that are living with a mental health condition, and they need the help and support for that.
So the number was 17% before the pandemic. What do you think that number is now?
We've gotten some information on like 18 to 24-year-olds that it's up to like 25%.
Right, and we have some mental health statistics from the pandemic. It used to be that one in almost five adults live with a diagnosable mental health condition. Now it's two in five U.S. residents report struggling with mental health or behavioral health issues associated with the pandemic. And there has been a 24% increase in mental health-related hospital visits for kids from 5 years old to 11 years old.
5 years old?
5 years
old.
So they've had this 25% pretty much increase, and 35% increase in hospitalization or hospital visits for 12 to 17 years old.
Oh,
so that's humongous. I mean, there was already a high percentage of our kids going because they felt they needed to or they were not feeling well.
And here the hospital's jammed with dealing with COVID patients, and you add this on top of it. Yikes.
Exactly. Yikes. Sadly, there's only so much that our medical professionals can do, but one of the things that we fear is that some of our kids are going to present at a hospital and be really at risk for a suicide attempt, and they're sent home just because
they got nobody there to take care of them.
Or there's really they don't see anything indicative of an immediate threat, or we just don't have any hospital beds available. I mean, I just had a phone call with someone who. They were in a hospital emergency room for 3 or 4 days with their 11-year-old, and there was still no bed that was available. They would have had to go up to Winston-Salem. They had gone to a Charlotte hospital. The child was a York County child, but they went up to a Charlotte hospital, but they were in that waiting room. And that is so normal for this is what we hear all the time. There's just there aren't enough beds to care for our kids that are showing signs of having a real
crisis. All right, we're going to pick up this discussion after we take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Of course, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we have fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. There's a magical formula that everybody in Rock Hill knows about. But if you're new to our city, we want you to be informed. It's pretty simple, and it goes like this. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Betsy O'Brien and Judy Rapios are with us today. They're with the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. Very interesting conversation we're having about kids primarily and the impact on them. And I'm sure this transitions right to adults who have had the same issues, not going to work, not socializing. I remember what you said, Betsy, must have been a year ago, when I inadvertently used the word socially distanced, and she said, don't use that term. It's physical distance because we are social animals and we need to stay together. We need to stay connected. And the use of socially distancing just tells you to stay apart, which is exactly the opposite of what you all are about. So here we are. What feedback are you getting from the kids about concerns they have or new issues that they're dealing with as a result of this doggone pandemic?
Well, I know that they, you know, it's been interesting because I've gotten some interesting feedback as far as things that I was kind of surprised at is that, you know, they are isolated. Maybe sometimes they're bored. They're frustrated with school. You know, it's hard for them to get their schoolwork done. They really just don't like the way things are going. But then I was surprised at some of the interesting things that they said of, as far as they've taken up new skills. And, you know, when they were home, that they were learning some new things, like, you know, one student told me that they were baking, or they were, you know, learning to bake bread, or, you know, just taking up new hobbies and painting and all kinds of things like that. So there was, you know, this positive side to it. So I was really, you know, glad to hear some of that. But when we did some of our presentations to these students, and we're actually doing it through Zoom and allowing them to do stuff in the chat box and kind of express themselves, it was very well received, and they actually loved the whole interaction. It was really important for them. They loved the ability to be with their peers and have some of that interaction to actually get some of that stuff, you know, really off their chest. And so, but yeah, there's a lot of frustration, concern, anxiety. And here's the other part of it. Some of the research has shown from 4-H and the Harris poll, they did something over the summer and they surveyed teens. And the teens indicated that 7 in 10 of them were struggling significantly with their mental health. And schoolwork was really the main reason that they were struggling. But, you know, they were basically feeling isolated, anxious, depressed. But here's the thing that really got me, is that 67% of them felt pressure to keep their feelings to themselves. And then 67% were also pretending to feel better, not to worry anybody. So they're not being, you know, forthright about what's really going on with them. So, you know, my advice to students and to parents, I mean, not to students, but to teachers and parents, is to ask them more pointed questions. Don't just ask them if they're okay. You know, really ask open-ended questions to see how things are really going.
As my mother used to say to me, don't you ever stop talking to your kids. I don't care if they don't want to talk to you, you keep talking to them, because that's the only way you're going to know what's really going on between their ears.
Right. And so, you know, but I mean, the kids maybe at times are feeling like they have to keep their feelings to themselves because they notice their parents might be struggling. So, you know, that can be part of it too. But it's really important that, you know, they model good behavior and say, you know, that, yeah, hey, I am a little anxious, and it's okay that they show that vulnerability to them so that they can keep the communication going.
Now, were you all shocked when I told you before we went on the air about an item I had on Palmetto Mornings here probably 2 weeks ago now, some survey done by some psychological society that indicated by far like 48 to 50% of those surveyed, and this was kids and adults, were concerned about going back into the workplace or the classroom, just concerned about going back, which, and then the other thing was they were equally as disturbed about anxiety they were feeling about interacting with people again. I heard that and I was just shocked. Does that strike you the same way or not?
No, I'm not shocked at all. And you know, this is another statistic that we learned through through the pandemic, that when they took a survey, that only 34% of Americans, and that would include kids too, say that their mental health is excellent, which is compared to 43% from 2019. So 43% pre-pandemic, 34% post-pandemic, that they're thinking like, you know what? And there's a lot of anxiety that people will have, you know. First of all, anxiety is the biggest mental health condition that affects our kids. And, you know, I would think that depression and anxiety is what affects our adults. So if you've been away from the world for so long and all of a sudden you're getting a chance to step out, your anxiety is going to be heightened, whether it's because, you know, how did all this work before? And is this, you know, and you might be afraid for your physical health, you know, making sure that we're not having another surge of anything. But I think a lot of people are just, they're just anxious about what it's going to be like going back in
You got to step back into the arena and get back into the fight, right? So you all go out and you talk to lots of organizations. We got about 25 seconds left here. If somebody wants to take advantage of your skill set, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they would call our office. Our office is 803-610-8174, or just email us from www.namipiedmont.org. That's our website. And, yeah, give us a call. We'd be happy to talk to staff and employees.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Betsy. Thank you, Judy. Thanks for the work that you do. That half hour blew right by. Pretty interesting discussion. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Put that mask off now. We got one more time. We got to tell everybody what we do here at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes. The magical way we do it at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.